So how's everybody doing? Yeah? You're living through the extra traffic and denial of ability to go to the store you usually like because there's too many other people there? Christmas season is upon us. Are you feeling grinchy or are you feeling merry?
Merry.
who's going to admit in here? Hallelujah. So good. So after service today, if you didn't get the announcements, we have the food truck, the food trailer going to be available. We're going to have squash soup. Doesn't sound good, but it is delicious. What's that? Sounds good. God is so faithful. I am sure glad that Pastor Sam is back amongst us. Yeah, it's just a good thing. That was our first try at a sabbatical. It's our 24th Christmas, and we'd not had anyone take a sabbatical before. So he's back, and we're glad he's back, So he'll whip you all back into shape before long, and it'll be really good. And he still has the vocal capacity to preach up a storm. It's going to be good. We'll have him up here before you know it, and we'll be back to normal. Hallelujah. This Thursday? Is Thursday Christmas Eve? Yeah. Already. We have our candlelight service, 5 o'clock. It's a one-hour service, maybe the best hour of the whole year. This was the best 15 minutes. but it is just awesome. It's full of scriptures and song. We sing Christmas carols and hear the Bible story through the Bible's words. And we hear about the birth of our Lord Jesus. So come on out, bring friends. It's candlelight service, so we all get to light a candle and illuminate the world. So good. Come on out. Thank you, Jesus. So we're doing pretty good for time. Thank you, Lord. I have something seasonal for us this morning. Something that goes with the time. I want to talk about announcements. God made one, you know. He made one that Jesus was coming. And he made it 600 years. Well, he actually made it before that if we look at it. But Isaiah was talking 600 years before Jesus came. Now, we, in all our brilliance, know exactly what to do in all of these things. We've worked it out to science. This week, something broke upon the world. The Star Wars episode came out. When did they announce it? It's been in the works for a long while, but about 6 months ago, they released a clip. And everybody was talking about it. And everybody starts to get excited. And then they leak a little bit here and a little bit there. And then they release something else somewhere in the world. And it filters through the world. And people get excited. So much so that this weekend, Star Wars is going to break all records for attendance for the first 2 or 3 days that it goes out. It's breaking records every day that it's been released. More than any movie ever in the history of movie making. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I haven't seen it. I don't know what it's like. I saw the first one. I saw the first one 7 times. It's the number of completion, you know? It's in my blood. I actually traveled down to Seattle because they released it in Seattle before Vancouver. It was 3 days down there before it was up here. And so I went down with a friend and watched it and was totally amazed. It's a cowboy movie, and they call it a space movie, but and I love cowboy movies. But they have this whole announcement thing down. They know what it's about. My brother is in the media. He's a radio announcer. He's been on TV and radio for years, and he tells me that any good media person will define what it is that you want to get out there. They'll bring it down to just a few things, and so he has three things that are in his law of release of news. The first thing is you want to have one spokesman, one person that is the focus of what's happening. And so you'll notice that when you see something being in the news, they'll have a spokesperson or a single media person that everything goes through. That way, they control what's being said. That way, it's a unified voice. There's not little bits here and little bits there coming out that might refute or change the picture of what's going on. You have people that are professionals that are very careful in crafting exactly what goes out. People like my brother that are able to put the words together just right to get the announcement out. And they don't want it wavering at all. They don't want anybody saying anything that's not within the script that they have prepared. That's why you see the news people, the reporters, are always trying to find somebody coming out from the business or wherever it is, trying to get them to talk too. Because as soon as you do, you've got a better story. Because they won't remember exactly the way it's supposed to go. And so you get other people talking. And so it's no longer controlled as soon as you got somebody doing that. So that just one person. So what does God do? God takes a guy. His name is Isaiah. And if you turn to Isaiah 52... And we'll start in verse 6, but I want to read from 7 to 10. Isaiah 52, verse 6. Now, the backstory is important in some of these things. These are people in captivity that God is announcing something to. And he wants them to know what's going to happen. Isaiah 52, verse 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Right? Can you see the principle of release of good news? One spokesman.
Hallelujah.
Who's our spokesman here? God himself. Think he knows the rules? That I who speak, here I am, he says. Verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of the nation and all the ends of the earth. So good. So the first law of release of announcements is to have a single spokesman. God is the single spokesman here. The second law is make your points clear. Whatever your points are, make sure they are clear and concise and that people can take them. And so what do people who are in captivity want? They want to know that they're going to be free. These are people who had never known peace, never known freedom, the way he's talking. And so his voice is clear and concise, and he's speaking to a people that have been crying out to him. Isaiah follows the advice by offering three key messages to his people in exile: peace, good news, and salvation. The announcement of peace was vital for a people who had been torn apart by war and captivity. The announcement of good news was like a healing balm for people who had endured nothing but bad news for so long. And salvation meant that God would once again reign over the people of God, which was the ultimate hope for a people who had been ruled by so many tyrants, like the ones that took them away from their home and had them in exile currently. Simple message, concise, ready for the people. They could take it and run with it. The amazing thing, I think we're getting ready for another announcement. I think our Jesus is about to announce that he's coming back again. And if you look at what's out there, he's got mechanisms where if he appears in the clouds on Mount Olives, how long do you suppose it would take for the entire world to hear about it now? Twitter feed, and it'd be out there before you can catch the next breath. Right? It's going to be concise, too, because you can only put 120 words in it, right? He's going to follow the rules. And it's coming. It's coming soon. And the vehicles are ready for it to happen. Are you ready? That's what Advent is all about. It's about reminding us he's coming and we better get ready. Right? It's no longer time to be out there doing your own thing. It's time to get serious. It's time to be about the Lord's business. It's about his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you ready? You know, the story of the 10 virgins, they're all ready, all 10 of them. They've all got oil in their lamps and they're ready for this thing. They think. But it takes just a little longer than they anticipated. And all 10 fall asleep. All 10 are out for the night while they've been waiting. All of them, the whole thing. But then they awake at the sound, at the announcement that the bridegroom is coming, right? Now, they didn't know they were asleep until they were awakened. You think the church worldwide is asleep? Because it's taken too long? what will happen when we have to wake up suddenly? Will we be the ones that have oil in our lamps? Or will we be rushing to somebody and saying, hey, can you lend me a little? Can you show me how to get intimate with the Lord? Can you show me how to be a friend of Jesus really quickly? Can you show me how to not be so wrapped up in myself that I still have some time for Jesus? Can you show me that? They're the ones that had extra oil. And as we read, what we're going to say at that time is, go get your own. Because we're going to be celebrating because he's coming. That doesn't sound like a very Christian response, does it? Our brothers and sisters, where's unity going to be at that time? I don't know how that's all going to come down. But the ones that are ready are going to be so celebratory. So enamored with the fact that the bridegroom is about to arrive. That it's going to be a very special day. Are we ready? Is it time? Most of the people I trust that are hearing from the Lord are saying they're starting to catch their breath just a little bit, you know, to be breathless right before, you know, yeah, you forget to breathe when something exciting is happening. That's the sort of feeling people are getting. Like it's upon us. What's that mean? 1 year, 2 years? 3 days? How soon will it be? We don't know. We don't know. But we do know that God has announced ahead of time that it's going to happen. It's going to come suddenly. And we have a choice in whether we're ready or not. Each of us has to make that choice. Each of us has to decide to be ready. Now, do you want to be ready just in the last moment? Like, as you're heading out of the house, your mom says, are your underwear clean in case you get into an accident? Oh, sorry, Mom, I better change. Who's going to admit that? Are you ready? Are you doing the things you know you should be doing? He's been really clear with us. And we got no one to talk to but ourselves about it. How's it going to be standing at the gate? Well, you took so long. I was ready 10 years ago. But then I sort of got distracted. And I got involved in my selfies. Are you ready? We live in a world where peace seems virtually impossible, given the constant image of violence and discord with which we are bombarded every day. There is very little good news to be had on most fronts, and God's reign and rule seem like a distant dream. The coming of Jesus reminds us, however, that God's message of peace, good news, and salvation isn't just something to be hoped for, it's something to be worked for. God Himself came in person to do the work and continues to work through persons like us to make His kingdom a reality on earth as it is in heaven. We are to live and proclaim the peace of Christ wherever we go. And is there a better season for it than now? Now, people get wrapped up in oh, Jesus wasn't born in December. He's born in September. What's the matter with you people, idolatrous people, putting trees up in your house. That's really ignorant. These people are drinking their own Kool-Aid. Has anybody ever put up a tree as an idol? Right? It's like when your wife gets dressed up to go out and you admire her. Those people, those religious types that say that a tree is an idol would call her an idol too, because you're admiring something other than God. Get past it. Think through what you're saying. We put up a tree to celebrate something because we want to celebrate. We know a Jesus that is worth celebrating, and we want to celebrate his birth. I don't care if he was born in September or April or whenever he was born. I got a day when I can focus my celebration, and nobody's going to take that from me. I can celebrate that my Jesus came the first time. And I'm celebrating that he's coming again, because he has never once lied. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. You want to talk? Okay. This is unrehearsed. Fear and trepidation is what I have in my heart right now.
you guys know that I work at Angel Christian Supplies, and I get to meet
lots of people.
Okay, it's not on, honey.
What's on? I have a very low. Oh, there I am.
Okay. There you are.
I work at Angel Christian Supplies, and I meet a lot of people.
Commercial message.
No, it wasn't. It's...
get
yeah,
your
come
presents.
On down. You won't even tell. A number of weeks ago, I ordered a CD for a lady, and when she picked it up, she was very grateful to get it. And then she says, I have to tell you the story about this. There's a special song on it. Now, what the story for her is this. She had leukemia, and she was dying. And I guess the song was important to her before, but I don't even remember what the song is on the CD. And don't even ask me the CD, I don't remember. The story she told me blew me away. So she was put into a medical coma, whatever they call them, because
induced
coma.
That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Thank you. Listen, you're used to being up here. I'm not okay. Anyway, when she was in the coma, she had a meeting with the Lord. So the neat thing is, there she is just talking to me. It was just her and me. She wasn't making a big deal about it to anybody. She was just sharing with me. Although I have to admit, the people that were in the store all stopped, and they all got listening to what she was saying to me. Is that so she was in this coma. She didn't remember seeing him, but the Lord spoke to her, and he said to her this specific thing. By the way, she got healed.
Thank
praise
you,
God.
Yeah. Leukemia.
Leukemia.
Yeah.
And the word she got was that Jesus said to her, tell my bride, I'm coming very, very soon. So I almost burst into tears, and everybody was like, whoa. So just as what Randy's saying here, he's coming so soon, and we have to get our act together. Anyway, that's it.
Very good. Thanks, Paige. Isn't that good? Right on time, confirmation. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Huh. We are to live and proclaim the peace of Christ wherever we go. We are to share the good news of his kingdom with anyone who will listen. And we're to live as though God's reign and rule has already been fully realized on the earth. And when we do those things, we begin to embody both the message and the messenger. The message and the messenger are both embodied in one person, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word dwelt amongst us. The message and the messenger are one. And that announcement has been made, and we keep getting it stirred in our hearts to encourage us to be about the things that He wants us about. The third thing, the third rule of making an announcement, you have your single spokesman. You have your main points that are clear and concise. And the third one is timing. Timing is so key in everything that we do, right? In the news business, if you want to release bad news, you do it on Friday afternoon. Because people will forget about it over the weekend. They're busy on their own things. They're distracted. If you got a good news story, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they're always released. Always works that way. Because that's one of the rules of the business. Timing is key. Timing is so important. And what is happening right now, worldwide, is creating a timing. We have a sense that something bad is going to happen right in our own backyard, where we live in fear and terror. Things that 40 years ago we wouldn't have thought about. 50 years ago. I lived in a house that was never locked. Front door, back door, anybody could walk in anytime. We wouldn't dare do that anymore. And that we're just trying to be wise stewards. It's not like we're trying to live in fear, but the fear has crept into everything that we do. And we live with this kind of low-grade fear all the time. You're never sure. You're never sure who's going to be against you. You're never passing somebody. Are they nuts or not? Can you tell? All the people that are religious zealots don't have crossed eyes and crazy beards, you know? You can't tell who it is anymore. And that scares people. We have Christmas razors at the back at a discount. Jeff's hiding his beard there. What kind of a world do we live in? But so much of the world has lived this way through the history of mankind, you know? Like, how did they feel living in Jerusalem at the time when Jesus was born? You know, it was, the Romans were cruel and nasty people. They would just as soon deal with you quickly and efficiently as look at you. Fear is a tool of the enemy. And it's out there. We have a message of peace. Real peace. I don't mean I have a Smith & Wesson in my back pocket and an AK-47 in my car, and therefore I'm at peace. It's not about that. You have something bigger and better.
Hallelujah.
Than all of that. The stories that I love aren't the ones where... where somebody shot somebody else when they had bad intentions. It's where the gun misfires or it doesn't do what it's supposed to do because they're looking at a Christian.
Hallelujah.
Our God is a God of peace. And you want to arm yourself. You want to arm yourself with His presence. You want to arm yourself with the understanding that you can hear His voice anytime you need to, that you can bring yourself to peace no matter what is happening in the room, where you can dial down and hear that voice that we so love, the voice, where you can dial into that place within a few seconds You want to be ready for that kind of stuff. Because even if they take you, you're just going to be with Jesus, right? So, it's about him and his kingdom. It's not about us and our and what we have here. This is so fleeting. God refers to our lives here as grass. Easily up one day and gone the next. Where is our relationship with Jesus right now? In this season, are we looking to the reason for the season? Are we checking out our Jesus? Are we so busy that we don't have time for that? Timing right now for this announcement is imminent. God isn't worried about a Friday, although he made a good news, bad news announcement on a Friday. He called it Good Friday. It's not about that. It's about what he's saying to our hearts and the timing that we have to move within, live within. His timing will be perfect. It always is. How many times did he come back to the day when they work it backwards to when he said, you know, 40 years or 400 years or... It's an amazing study, you know, when his prophecies and how they're fulfilled on the day.
Wow, praise God. Praise God.
His timing is perfect. And what he's announcing is that he's coming. He is coming. He is coming. Our kids reminded us that it's not about the presence. It's about the presence. It's about his presence. It's about his relationship with us. It's about us being ready. And how do you get ready? You just spend time with him. That's it. His announcement to us, so good. God has spoken to us through his Son. And there is no bigger announcement than that. The big announcement has been made. Are you listening? Media people say that it takes, you have to listen at least 6 times to something before you actually, it gets through. Like on the 7th time you've heard it, it starts to register. I hope that I've said this more than 6 times in the past. Use this season. You've got a reason to talk to people about the peace of God and his kingdom and all of that stuff. Your testimony is all you need. You don't need to have the 4 spiritual laws. Tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Tell them how wonderful Jesus is. It will overcome all the arguments. I was telling Sean, our father in this thing, this play, just the other day, that I haven't personally brought anybody to the Lord through arguments. Not one. But I have brought a number of people to the Lord through love. Through testimony. Through telling them just what I know Jesus to be like. That overwhelms them sometimes. And it's so easy because it's your story and nobody can take it away. You don't have to memorize anything. Just be real. And love with your heart. Leak some Jesus over people. And you have permission to do that this year. Worship team, can I get you to... You guys did such a good job. I want you back up there. We're going to worship him just a little bit more before we go and have some squash soup. Make sure you stay for it. You got to know how good it is. And there is no charge for it. You didn't have to pay for it. You can leave a donation if you want, but this is the food truck's gift to us this year. And so be blessed by it. Stand with me. We're going to pray. And we're going to sing. Jesus, your announcement. Your announcement is that your kingdom has come. That your will should be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your announcement is that you've come and you're coming again. Your announcement couldn't be clearer, Lord. Thank you for announcing it to us. Thank you that you yourself became the spokesman. And now you trust us all to be your spokesman. And thank you for the timing, O God. Jesus. Help them, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be your people this season. And to sense your peace in this time when we should. To not be so wrapped up in the things we got to do, but to do the things that we want to do. First on our list is you, Lord.
Yes, thank you.
We want to celebrate you and your birth. And say happy birthday to you, Jesus, whenever you were born. Because you're worth celebrating. You are worth it. And they can't stop us from celebrating that. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. I pray your blessing upon each one that's here. As only you can bless. Thank you, Lord.